Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I am going to be talking about promoting healthy eating and physical activity in childcare. As you may or may not know, about 3/4 of kids spend some time in childcare. And you'd think that because of that, we'd have spent a lot of time understanding the nutrition, the physical activity, the risk factors in childcare for healthy eating or unhealthy eating, and yet we don't. We have really understudied this area. So we undertook this multi-component study in an attempt to try to better understand what's going on in childcare, nutrition, and physical activity. And neither Kumar nor I have any relationships to disclose. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start by describing our research methods, compare some food and activity environments in childcare in settings that have the child and adult care food program and those that don't. And CACFP is analogous, for those of you who are more familiar with schools, is analogous to the school lunch or school breakfast program. It allows centers or daycare homes to provide a meal, breakfast or lunch or snacks, or a combination thereof, and provides them with guidance on what foods should be components of those school meals. But it's a program that hasn't been updated since its inception in the 68, 70s, a long time. So we wanted to find out what the status is today and maybe, you know, recommend some improvements. And so that will be my next topic, is ways that we think nutrition and physical activity can be improved in childcare. We also did some research to find out ways to increase participation in the CACFP program, and then Kumar is going to follow me as a policy advocate with some policy next steps that will be very important for our future work. Oh, I have a button. I'm trying to do something harder. Okay, so our methods. We did a combination of qualitative and quantitative studies over the course of 3 years, really. One of the studies we did was a statewide survey of providers in California. I'm from California, and all of this work was done in California, I should add. We picked a random sample of a variety of types of childcare, Head Start, state preschools, centers that were on and off CACFP, and then also family daycare homes, some that were on and some that were off. And we interviewed or surveyed about over 400 providers. We did observations of lunch service in those same kinds of settings in about 54 sites in Los Angeles County. We did stakeholder interviews of leaders in the field, administrators that were either local or statewide or federal administrators, sponsoring agencies, referral and resource agencies, leaders in the field of childcare. And then we also did provider stakeholder interviews, asking more detailed questions about the food program. So the first question I'm going to answer for you, I hope to anyways, is does CACFP impact what children are served? I've mentioned that these guidelines haven't been updated in a very, very, very long time. They definitely do not reflect the current dietary guidelines. So are they making a difference? Are they still having an impact on what children are served? And in our study, we found that they definitely did. And I'm going to go through a series of slides that show different foods. And in each one, the blue bar is the sites that are on the child care program, and then the orange bar is those that are not. And in all cases, we found significant differences. So this slide shows that the percent of sites, and by the way, I should just add that we asked the sites to tell us, what did you serve yesterday? Kind of like a 24-hour recall, but for serving of foods. What did you serve yesterday? And this is the results that I'm presenting. So almost all the sites that were on the food program served milk, but a much smaller percentage that weren't on the food program served milk. The same relationships were observed for, and I don't know what happened to our slides. This is the second time we've given this talk and they always screw up, but they look fine on at home. But anyways, fruit, vegetables, and meat protein alternatives were all served in greater amounts by sites that were on the food program compared to those that were not. Well, if so many things were served in greater quantities by sites that were on the food program, what were served, what are the sites not on the food program serving more of. And this slide shows that. We saw a lot more foods of minimal nutritional value is what we nutritionists try to call it. It's basically junk food is how we colloquially refer to it. Those were higher in non-CACFP sites, as were sweetened drinks. So how can nutrition, physical activity, and childcare be improved? Well, from our stakeholders, we interviewed, as I mentioned, a lot of stakeholders. We presented all our results to them, and we came up with six recommendations, one of which is to serve only low or non-fat milk to children two or up. Now, most sites, about 75%, were serving low or non-fat milk, but a quarter were serving whole milk to children two and up. And if those of you are familiar with the dietary requirements of young children, anyone over two should not be drinking whole milk. They should be on the lower fat milk. So there is definitely room for improvement. One of the things that was positive is that you see that little flavored mark up there at the top? Only, and this was a question about usually served. So only about 0.5% of sites usually served flavored milk. So I think that's very interesting, because when we get to talking about flavored milks in school, a lot of people say, well, we need to give them the flavored milk, otherwise they won't drink the milk. But somehow these younger children are drinking milk without it being flavored. Very interesting. Increase access to drinking water. As in schools, we found that a lot of you think water is always available, and it should be, and it's not. About 22% of sites rarely or never served water at meals or snack times. A third of sites did not have water easily available for children to self-serve. Increase the quality of fruits and vegetables. Limit fruit juice to one serving per day. We saw that many sites did serve vegetables, but the number one vegetable was fried potatoes. Some 1% served no fruit or vegetable of any kind, and again, this was asking them the day before. Doesn't mean they never do, but that the day before they completed the survey, they did not. Fruit was also very popular, but one of the most common ways that sites served fruit was canned in syrup, and that adds a lot of extra calories from sugar. And nearly two-thirds provided 100% fruit juice. Now, there's nothing wrong with fruit juice in moderation, but we thought it would be important to have sites increase their provision of fruits and vegetables, but recommend that only one serving be of fruit juice on any given day. Excuse me, this was another interesting one. When we did our observation of lunch, we found that only 22% served a whole grain at lunch. When we asked them in the survey, over 50% said they had a whole grain. So we recognize there's this disconnect, and this, in order to meet this recommendation, we're going to have to provide a lot of training and support so that sites can identify what truly is a whole grain. And then this slide shows some of the data that I showed before, the different percentages of sites serving various minimal nutritional value foods, and we would like to reduce or completely eliminate those in childcare. And then finally, increase physical activity. Only about half of sites offered the recommended 2 hours of physical activity per day. A little over half offered that as structured. About a third offered half or more of their activity or half or less of their activity outdoors, and these are all recommendations put forward for young children. And again, you know, not very many, or many of the sites were not meeting these recommendations. How can CACFP participation be increased? We found in our stakeholder interviews that the number one complaint about participating in the food program, and you guys all, any of you who work in childcare knew this, we didn't actually have to do a research study to confirm it, but it is the paperwork, and that came out resoundingly clear. In fact, you'd try to get them to talk about something else, and they kept bringing up the paperwork. And these are some of the reasons that they moaned and groaned about the paperwork. I mean, it was very, very onerous. They had to document all the meal counts. They had to document the portion size. If they didn't, they were dinged and penalized. A lot of the paperwork they felt was redundant. It took incredible amounts of time, or more time than they wanted it to. I think after having talked to people, it's not really that time consuming. It doesn't take hours and hours, but it takes much more time than they have in their very, very busy schedule working with children. The audits were lengthy. People talked about two-day audits. And then the storage space, they'd have piles and piles of binders and files to keep track of all the paperwork over the years. They thought it was important that technology solutions be provided, software to simplify some of the paperwork that they had to do. But they were very cautious about it because there were technology solutions out there, but they're costly. You have to have internet access, you have to have computer access. Not all these people have those resources or those skills. And then finally, some of them complained that they did use software and then the state auditors would come and say, ah, that's not in the format, I need it, you need to redo it. Promotion of CACFP. We interviewed sites both on and off the program, and surprisingly, many of the sites that were not on the program know very little about it. What they do know is the fear factor, what I call the fear factor. They are afraid of the paperwork, but they don't really know a lot about it. If you get down and ask them very many details, they're very vague. So it would be very helpful, they thought, to have a campaign on how CACFP improves the food and how it helps them provide healthy nutrition to the children. They thought it would be important to send reps from the state or other organizations to the sites to train them on the paperwork, to train them on meal planning and nutrition, to promote the program. Increased reimbursement was important, and they thought that even if it meant that they had to have stricter meal standards and had to prepare healthier foods, that they would be in favor of an increased reimbursement, and they would like someone to help them with administering the program. So I'm going to end and pass this on to Kumar, but I just wanted to leave you with the good news is that the research shows that nutrition is a primary factor in the decision-making of the child care providers. Over and over again, they said, yes, we would be willing to do CACFP, or we do CACFP despite the huge paperwork burdens because it's good for the kids. They recognize that. And even despite the many complaints they had about the program, people that were on the program said they would recommend it to others. So I think there's a lot of room for hope and for moving forward. Kumar.
Morning. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kumar Chandran. I work for California Food Policy Advocates, and we worked with Loreen on translating these research results into policy solutions. And so we've had the opportunity, both at the federal and at the state level, to use these research results to influence policy. And so these recommendations, even though sites on CACFP had better meal quality than those that did not, there is still room for improvement, and Loreen mentioned some of those. Another second bullet is to increase or include nutrition and physical activity requirements as part of licensing. In California, at least, there's no mention of nutrition in the licensing standards. And so we worked on a bill to include that. I'll describe that in a second. One thing Loreen, I don't think, mentioned was that the food that was brought from home was found to be of the lowest quality. And so thinking of ways to limit or restrict foods that were brought from home. And finally, provider and parent training on nutrition and physical activity, which we'll hear more about later in this session. So at the federal level, we had the opportunity to present these research results in Congress. And as many of you probably know, the child nutrition programs are being reauthorized by Congress. And so really the last opportunity to do that, given the recent election results, is in the lame duck session. And there's a bill that the Senate passed, the House needs to act upon, that would improve the child and adult care food program. It would increase the nutrition and also reduce some of the paperwork that Loreen described. The White House released a task force report on childhood obesity, which included a strong plank on early childhood. Some of those recommendations did include improving the nutrition standards in child care and improving the child and adult care food program. And lastly, the Institute of Medicine just last week released a package of recommendations to bring CACFP into compliance with the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. And Loreen had the opportunity to speak to that panel and present these research results. And so a lot of the improvements that Loreen mentioned are actually in that package of recommendations and would increase fruits and vegetables and lower the fat content and added sugar, more whole grains, more low-fat meats and things like that. So at the state level, what we did in California, we passed legislation authored by Assemblymember Brownlee that was signed into law in September, and it essentially created beverage standards for the nutrition standards for the beverages that are served in childcare settings. At first, we wanted to do a sort of a broader bill that did both foods and beverages in childcare both in licensed childcare and in the food program, but given California's sort of abysmal budget issues, that bill did not get anywhere, and so we had to pare it back, just focus on beverages, and that was what got signed, and later we'll hopefully tackle foods. I think you'll hear later about what's happening in Delaware. There's some great other states, and New York City have done some good things in terms of improving nutrition in childcare through licensing or through CACFP. And lastly, most states are gonna have or are working on or have already implemented quality rating improvement systems. And there, that's another great way to include nutrition and physical activity requirements and standards through that process. So I think that's my last slide. Here is everyone that we worked with on our research team. And I think that's it. Thank you.